All right. So I guess my track first.
And I have your number one ready. Yes.
All right. Let's go and go. One,
two, three, go.
Two, three, go.
Listen to all those bits.
Very bitty.
Boom, boom, boom.
The bass, right?
Yeah, that's the first thing I heard. Boom, boom. Cool. Sounds kind of, Eastern.
Mm. For sure. When you see the name of the track, yeah.
You know, it kind of reminds me of like a... Damn, this is sick, actually. It kind of reminds me of, like an 80s, like, kung fu movie or something. That's just kind of like a...
That's exactly the vibe they were going for.
Yeah, I just thought of like Bloodsport immediately or something.
Yeah.
As far as console, like, no idea. Pum pum. Right. Yeah, it's nice.
I know, right? It's catchy. I really love the, like, how the bass slaps in this one.
The bass is, like, honestly, like, so standout.
And, I'll give you a clue. I'll tell you at the end of the song, like, what console this is.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay, this is, like, a chorus section type thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just can't help think, but like Ninja, Eastern, very, you know, smoke bombs and all that.
It's
at
funny.
Least with the melodies, not the bass.
It's funny you mentioned Ninja.
Oh, that's it.
Okay, so
too short.
So yeah, this is a track from 1992. Well, what do you think?
Whew. 91. There's only three things, right? Nintendo, SNES, and Genesis.
Yeah, Genesis Mega Drive. This is a Genesis Mega Drive track, and I think Mega Drive's tracks have this really distinctive pop to them. There's like the Yamaha sound processor in them. Some of my favorite soundtracks from that era are actually the Mega Drive version. In terms of the tech, it was probably lower than the Super Nintendo, but the Mega Drive sound chip just has such a distinctive sort of feel to it that it's really good with certain genres, and that bass just really pops.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounded like Sega because the very first thing I ever heard in my life as far as VGM was on the Sega. It was MK1. It
right.
was either MK1 or Sonic 1. It was, yeah. We had both of them. So yeah. I familiarized myself with that, like, Sega sound. But this is 91, so this is, like, I'm, like, a toddler. So yeah. I could kind of tell the difference between, like, the very early 90s Sega stuff and kind of, like, the mid-90s stuff where they kind of got it together. But, yeah, that was... What was that?
Okay, so that was The Revenge of Shinobi. Ninja, right? You nailed the ninja part, and the track is called Chinatown, and it's like this level where you sort of right? It's this level where you go through Chinatown, and all these
That's
sort
awesome.
Of all these like sort of Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee ripoffs start attacking you. It's supposed to be a spoof on a
damn dude,
like a Hong Kong
how much,
movie.
How much closer could I have gotten?
Yeah, right. So well, you pretty much nailed the vibe and the ninja-ness of it. So
that's crazy. I was actually thinking more Japanese, but I don't know. Sometimes like Chinese sounds and Japanese sounds are kind of confused. Like I interchange them in my head, but because they share a lot of instruments, so it's like
For sure. Like and they were kind of going for this tongue-in-cheek generic East Asian vibe with
now
this
that,
one.
Now that you mention that, it did sound kind of for lack of a better word, kind of like cliche.
Yeah.
Of that, but it worked. You know, I love that kind of stuff.
The composer for this is Yuzo Koshiro, right? The god, right? And I don't know if you know about Yuzo, but Yuzo.
Yes.
Right, yeah. He's most known for like Streets of Rage or Bare Knuckle.
That's what it sounded like. I was gonna say this sounded like something, but that's what it was.
Right,
had a very Streets of Rage sound.
And he still works in the industry. He's very prolific. He's done a lot of Initial D stuff as well. You know, when he grew up, he was sort of trained by Joe Hisaishi.
No idea who that is.
The guy who does a lot of the music for like Ghibli movies. Yeah.
That works out.
Yeah, so like he has a really, really strong sense of like melody, which I think really comes through in a lot of his tracks.
In my like Patreon people that like record that request stuff, I have like its own tier, like the high tier that they get their stuff first. There's this guy who's been there for like over a year, and he's submitted like nothing except for like Yuzo Koshiro stuff, like Etrian Odyssey. So there's a lot of those games.
Yeah, right?
So many. But the one thing that stood out in each one, exactly what you said, like melodies are like so prolific, like all over the place. Like
yeah.
It doesn't matter what's going on in the background. There's always like at least one melody that like pushes all the way through. So
that's Yuzo Koshiro's hallmark, right?
He's still going. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
He must have been like a child during this.
He would have been in his 20s, I think, when he composed this. So he composed this pretty young, early 20s, I think.
Doesn't even look that old.
Yeah, I mean, I was a child when this came out. I was 6 when I heard this track for the first time. So, it left
91? You said 91?
Well, this was 91. I heard it when I was 5 or 6, basically. I was born in 86. So,
I was 2 years old.
Yeah. This track definitely made an impression on me. So, hope you enjoyed it.
No, that was sick.
Cool. So my second one, I'd be very surprised if you knew what this is, because this is about as obscure as it gets. The song itself is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's good fun, I think. So let's hop into it. 1, 2, 3, go.
Groovy. Out of sight.
Wah pedal. What the hell are you? Ooh, we have left and right channels. Speaking of Michael Jackson.
Right?
Come vocals.
So, because it has vocals, you can probably tell it's a song from a Western game, too. I told you it's goofy.
Together that you're a big fan of the bass. It's excellent.
We went for two bass-heavy songs on this one.
Song is good. I have no idea what this is, so it's the first time for me.
Most people won't.
I mean, it's mixed very well.
Yeah, baby, you did.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Can I dig it?
Can you dig it?
I can try it, I guess, but I mean, I have nothing.
If I tell you the game, it's not going to mean much to most people either, because it's an obscure song from a super obscure game.
What console?
PlayStation 1. It's a platformer game, and it's like... it's designed in sort of claymation. The characters are supposed are designed to look like they're in claymation. It wasn't very successful. It wasn't very popular. I rented it once when I was like,
damn, shout out renting.
Yeah, I went to my local video DVD rental store. No, DVDs weren't even a thing then. I went to my local video store. I'm that old. I went to my local video store and I rented a PlayStation 1 game and I was just like...
What made you pick this game? Was it the box art?
Literally just the box art, and I was like, what the hell is this? And it looked kind of interesting. You know, they had this deal where you could like rent two games for the weekend for like £5, like $6-$7. And, you know, instead of buying games, I would just rent two games for the weekend and just have a blast with them, you know? And sometimes I rented a real dud and I just play him for like a couple of hours and that's it.
Did you enjoy the game?
The game was okay. I remember playing it a bit and then thinking, it's a bit monotonous. But this song had to
have stuck out.
Yeah,
when you were a kid, you're like,
it stuck out. It's like, it's a song they use on a bonus level. And it stuck out because A, it's kind of funky and cool, but also it's weird and it's funny and it's goofy and it just, it's one of those songs I think you can't forget it after you listen to it.
It's not a like music based game, is it?
No. It's called
So it's just total.
Yeah, it's a platform game. It's just a platform game.
Oh, and, right. You said platform, sorry.
Yeah. It's a game called Skull Monkeys.
I've heard of that name.
Yeah.
I've heard of that name. That was Claymation.
Yeah.
See, that, when you said that, I was like, what the hell was Claymation back then? Like, I was thinking Croc, but I don't think that's Claymation.
No. I think Claymation was...
Skull Monkeys.
Yeah, it was a weird game. And I think the Claymation in it, because at that time, you know, Wallace and Gromit was quite popular. You had Clay Fighter on the previous gen as well. I guess it was kind of a fad.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas, big shot. Must have been inspired by that, too.
So, is the rest of the soundtrack this way, or...?
No, like the rest of the soundtrack is certainly oddball, but this is the funkiest track on the soundtrack.
It came out of nowhere. Yeah, that was literally... We had the wah guitar all over the place, but it was cool because, like, they mixed, you know, it wasn't just, like, stereo. It was like we had, like, the wah over here, and then we had, like, some chords over here.
Yeah.
And then the vocals threw me way off because I was like, what is that? Can you dig it?
I think they actually hired a...
That was my next question. I was like, is this an actual band or is this like...
Yeah, it's an actual musician like called Terry Scott Taylor. You know, I don't think he's a big name, but if you Spotify him, he definitely has a band and he has music. And like I was listening to some of it before this podcast, actually. It's pretty damn good. So they like, I think with this, they hired like a pro claymation team and like actual musicians to, you know, provide the aesthetics of their game. And yeah, it definitely comes across because the game has a very, very strange aesthetic, like overall vibe to it.
Those instances where like the musician was just like a friend of the developers or something and then just like, hey,
potentially
play this song, you know.
Potentially. I think, you know, it was at that time where, you know, we were just in the first initial stages of games not being in this sort of gamey little island where like only video games, right? Because like we were beginning to get licensed tracks for video games. That's becoming more common. And especially with like in the 32-bit generation, like I think I remember there was a big deal being made about, oh wow, like games are now arcs, right?
And, that's true, yeah, that's true.
And I hate the idea that, you know, games can't just stand as games on themselves. And like, of course, video game composers are like legit composers, insanely talented. But there was definitely a push at that time to like try and bring in different sorts of mediums into gaming and to like try and incorporate, you know, non-video game composers into video game music. So especially at that time, it was there was a big deal made about this kind of stuff, and this game came around that kind of time where, you know, they would like, especially with the original Sony PlayStation, blurring the lines between what is a game and what is a movie and all that kind of stuff,
especially with all that space available now, and instead of a cartridge we have this disc, so everything like the PS1. I remember just the PS1 in general was so like otherworldly at the time.
I think nowadays it's very commonplace to have like movie music tie-ins with games, and it's all sort of like, you know, the gaming industry is now a multi-billion dollar industry.
It's its own thing,
right? But at that time it was it was quite novel, really, because games were really their own thing. They were seen as sort of like this niche thing for underground thing. And we talked a bit about Final Fantasy earlier, and Final Fantasy VII was one of those games on the PS1 to really push the idea that games are more than games, right?
Yeah, like borderline movie type things. To be honest, I kind of got the same feeling with, which was a year later after that game, which was Metal Gear Solid 1.
Right.
I think that was like, for me, you know, I was like 8 or 9 years old or something like that. So going from regular video games to like, oh, we're in the Arctic Sea and we're gonna like sneak our way. I'm like, what? Like,
I think the late 90s, early 2000s, for me, like, that was the most exciting time to ever be a gamer.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like the medium was completely changing, like, by the year. Like, every couple of months, it transformed to something completely different, because there was this wild new technology available to you that allowed you to do things that weren't never even thought possible. Like, the idea that you could move in a 3D space, like, what? You know? It was a very exciting time to be playing video games. And when I think about some of my favorite games of all time, a lot of them come from the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, I'm sure there's a bit of nostalgia.
And it's not biased, because we're, you know, from that era. I think most people just agree with, like, that's why people still play FF7 and stuff, like, 30, 20 years later, because, like, it holds up.
I think there's this sort of energy to those games that's palpable, and you can feel it, that the developers felt like they are sort of crossing a boundary here, and you can sense that energy in the game itself, this, like, wildly creative, anything-goes energy. There are moments in certain mediums where I think, like, everything just opens up, and they have, like, a golden era. Like, music, of course, has several of these, depending on the genre as well. Anyway, Skull Monkeys is not one of those classic games.
I love these tangents. I have to admit, though, like, even though, like, you know, we're just, like, chopping it up, I think that's why I kind of, like, really admire these, is because I feel like most people that are going to watch these as well, I feel like we've always kind of just wanted to talk about this kind of stuff with someone, but felt like, who am I going to tell this stuff to?
Yeah.
So, like, it's really nice to, like, you know, because I remember, just tiny little side tangent, like, I remember coming home from school on the bus, and I had my CD player, my anti-skip technology CD player.
I had the anti-skip technology, too. It was
nice. And I remember I had this Grand Theft Auto 1 game in there, just so I can listen to the theme song, like you know. And now, years later, people are like, "Yeah, I used to do the same thing." I'm like, "What?" Yeah. So it's really cool. It's really cool that, like, there's more nerds around
out there. The Grand Theft Auto song was sick, by the way. The original
All
Grand Theft.
You're sick, but yeah, the first one's cool.
Yeah.
Let's go for a joyride. Anyways, fourth one.
So hey, thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this, then head on over to Jesse's Auditorium for more. We split up all these episodes between our two channels. Cheers all, and catch you there.